Medical Breakthroughs, the research journey. Hello and welcome. I'm your host, Caroline Burden, and you're about to join me on a journey into the fascinating world of medical breakthroughs. But not just any breakthroughs. We're diving into the personal stories, the setbacks, the you will not believe this moments behind the cutting edge research happening right here at Leeds Teaching Hospitals NHS Trust. Coming up in this episode,
the AI algorithm is called FindAF. It was developed by ourselves at the University of Leeds. We developed and checked 2 million people in the UK. We've now done that in 9 million people in other countries. So this algorithm could go much further internationally, globally, and it could actually be something that we export.
Can an algorithm predict a stroke? What started as an idea in Leeds could change the face of healthcare worldwide.
My name is Ramesh Nadaraja. I'm an academic clinical lecturer at the University of Leeds and a cardiology registrar at Leeds Teaching Hospitals. So atrial fibrillation is an abnormal heart rhythm that comes from the top of the heart. It's very common, affects about 1.5 million people in the UK, and it's becoming more common, so that there are now more cases diagnosed of atrial fibrillation each year than the four most common causes of cancer put together.
Wow.
So it's very common and it is important. So it causes symptoms like breathlessness, the feeling of your heart racing, chest discomfort, fatigue, but also, and probably more importantly, it increases your risk of stroke by fivefold, increase your risk of heart failure, and increase your risk of death. All of these things, of course, very important. And when you put that all together, you have a very common condition, which is becoming more common and is important in terms of for the individual and for the health system as a whole. What we in this study are looking at is one of the big issues with atrial fibrillation, which is it causes all these problems, but it still causes increased risk of stroke, increased risk of heart failure, increased risk of death, whether or not it causes you symptoms. So it can sometimes be a bit of a silent killer. You can have no symptoms but have atrial fibrillation and be at risk. So it's estimated that between a quarter and a third of people that have atrial fibrillation are undiagnosed.
And how treatable is it? You say it increases the risk fivefold. If you were to treat it, how does the risk look then?
Yes, there's lots of treatments for atrial fibrillation. The ones that are aimed at reducing your risk of stroke are tablets, which are either once a day or twice a day, very well tolerated, a number of different available options through the NHS, and with a lot of evidence behind them. So we can reduce that risk of stroke by two-thirds if we find people with this abnormal heart rhythm and we treat them.
And so that is what is behind then this study using AI. And you say AI today and people think about chat, you know, GPT, and is it going to steal my job? And are we going to have robots in the future and all the rest of it? It brings across a lot of questions. How are you using it in this study?
So the problem we find is that people have this abnormal heart rhythm but are undiagnosed, and we actually have in the health service lots of different tools that we can use to diagnose the problem. Types of devices that will take an ECG and show you your heart rhythm and we can use to diagnose atrial fibrillation. The question is, who should we give those devices to? They cost money. They inconvenience people by having to take their recordings. So we want to find the right people. And so that's what we're using AI for in this study. We are using AI in data that's routinely available in each of our GP records and using that to identify people at risk. And it's those people at risk that we are offering the opportunity to have rhythm recording to look for this abnormal heart rhythm.
And so if the results of this study were to mean that actually this would become routinely used, is this something that would replace, a GP's role within this?
So as you say, people always concerned about the potential implications of AI, things such as ChatGPT. So we're using AI here in a very different way. So this is not to replace anybody. This is simply to help healthcare professionals do their job better and more efficiently. Because at the moment, we have no available tool in the NHS to allow us to identify these people at risk. What we're doing is trying to provide that information to primary care healthcare professionals so that they can use it to inform their care. So not replacing, hopefully aiding and improving care.
And so how does the study work? How many people do need to be involved?
Yeah, so first of all, the algorithm, the AI algorithm, is called FIND-AF, and that's because it's Future Innovations in Novel Detection of Atrial Fibrillation. And actually, it was developed by ourselves at the University of Leeds. So this doesn't come from a private company. This was developed through funding from the British Heart Foundation by myself and colleagues at the University of Leeds, a team of doctors, a team of statisticians, a team of data scientists, all done with the aim of improving care. And when we made it using information from over 2 million people in the United Kingdom, all anonymized. But this was information that is available in primary care, but we could use to identify people at risk by putting it through this AI. Just to be clear as well, the AI is not changing. It's not some sort of multi-headed hydra. It's a fixed thing. We trained it. It is what it is. It's not going to change. It's not going to adapt. It's not going to do other things. It's built for this purpose, and it was built by scientists to try and make things better. And now what we're doing in this study, with funding from the British Heart Foundation and from Leeds Hospital Charities, importantly, is we're actually taking it from the research setting, which is we did it in data, and actually trying to make a difference to people. So in this study, we have put the algorithm into primary care records, so into the records that sit in your GP practices, and we've identified people at risk. And we've identified 2,000 people at risk across West Yorkshire, and we've invited those individuals to take part in the study. Now, of course, what does the study involve? Is it a lot of work? It really isn't at all. We've tried to make this study as easy as possible for people to take part in. So we've deliberately centered the study in areas that are full of poorer communities, that are full of communities with higher ethnic minorities, and places where historically heart disease has been a bigger killer. What happens in the study is the AI algorithm runs through the records, identifies the at-risk people, and those individuals are invited by a text and by a letter. If they want to take part and they send the letter back to us, we actually send them a little handheld device which you put your thumbs on, and they take the recordings as they go about their daily life 4 times a day for 3 weeks. So they never actually have to leave their house to take part in the study. It all happens very remotely to try and make it as convenient as possible. Of course, you know, you have to take your recording a few times a day, and it's easy enough to forget that once or twice. But this little handheld device is very light. It can fit in your handbag. It should be something that you can do as you go about your daily life. And you don't have to come to see us in hospital. You don't have to go for lots of invasive tests. It's all done simply through that. And of course, at the end of their study, once people have undergone this period of ECG monitoring, we then provide them with the result. We tell them whether we found atrial fibrillation or we didn't. And if we do find atrial fibrillation, we make sure that their primary care healthcare professional is aware and that they're put on the right treatments.
And what's the goal with this study?
Yeah, so the goal is to, one, improve detection of this abnormal heart rhythm, because as I said, a third of people who have it aren't aware. So we know there's an unmet need there, and we're trying to address it by actually getting people diagnosed and getting them on the right treatments before it causes them harm. And also, within the study, we know that different individuals are at different levels of risk. And what we want to understand is there a point at which the risk is so high that this would be the most effective approach to use in the NHS? This is all funded by research charities at the moment, but we want to find out what's the optimum risk level at which we should provide people with these tools that will then be something that we can actually translate and use in the NHS that will be effective in terms of getting people the right diagnosis and getting them on the right treatment, but also cost effective for the NHS so that we're saving money for the NHS long term.
And if it, you know, did get the green light and it did get rolled out, what sort of time scale are we looking at to sort of see it in use generically?
Yeah, so actually, in parallel to this study going on, we've actually been working with bodies within the NHS to see how we can translate this. So we've done a number of important steps. One is we did a lot of interviews with GPs and people in primary care to understand, one, is it useful to them, which we found a resounding yes. Two, how would they like it to be deployed? How do they want us to use it in the NHS? So we use that information. We've put together the sort of pathway that would follow. And actually, we're currently working with providers of these GP records in primary care to actually make the algorithm available. So we're working with one of the companies at the moment with the aim that we'll make this available to a portion of the population really within the next 6 months to 1 year.
I mean, it sounds really interesting and like it could actually have really quite a significant impact upon people's health.
Yeah, absolutely. So I think it's really important that people are aware that we did this research, one, because we're a team that include doctors who are actively looking to make a difference to care right now, not in 10 years, not in 20 years, but right now. And thus, even though we were using AI, we made a lot of efforts to make sure that it was implementable right here, right now, and also that it was scalable. So 98% of the UK population are registered with a GP. That's a lot of people, right? And all of those people have a GP medical record. And this algorithm can interact with every single one of those records. So what we're aiming for is to make something that's truly scalable across the country to help everyone in the country and effective so that it actually does diagnose people with this condition and help us improve care.
And I think it's really interesting that, as you say, this has come from the NHS, it's come from support from charities, and it's come from Leeds University, Leeds Teaching Hospitals, as opposed to from an organisation, a business, trying to, help people, but also benefit financially.
And of course, we know that it's important that we have companies trying to do that, private companies coming in with their medications, with their devices, etc. That's important for our innovation and how we drive healthcare going forward. But very much this whole program of work, this aim to improve things, has come from within the NHS, within universities, within charities, informed by patients, done by clinicians, done by scientists, for the pure reason of trying to make things better. So it comes with the best intentions. And that's why I think that's really important. You know, you hear all the time now with AI about ethics boards, about are they doing the right thing? Are they doing something that's for profit rather than for benefit? I think we can be very clear that we say with a very clear heart, we are doing this for people's benefit. And that's why we hope that it can help people. And we hope that we can get traction to actually get this into the NHS and get this being used and helping people.
And how long is this piece of research work from start to hopefully soon finish?
Yeah, I mean this research work has been years in the making. So the funding application to this went back in to develop the algorithm Find AF was back in 2018. We started working on it in 2020. We developed the algorithm over a number of years. This study that we're currently doing with the 2,000 people across West Yorkshire started over a year ago now. So this has been over half a decade in development to get to this point. And my role in this was actually it was my PhD funded by the British Heart Foundation that led to the development of the algorithm. So I was taken out of my clinical work as a doctor for a few years to do this, to work with AI, to work with primary care records, to try for the specific purpose of trying to develop this algorithm, to try to develop Find AF, to try and make it something that could be used in NHS. And then it's been the subsequent work of that has been part of my role as half clinician, half academic, has been then trying to drive this forward with a really strong multidisciplinary team of lots of really important healthcare professionals and scientists as a team trying to bring this forward.
That must be personally really fulfilling.
Oh, absolutely. It's the best part of the job, being able to look after patients in my NHS job, but also do stuff that I actually think can make a stepwise change, a paradigm shift change, and a change at scale is really rewarding. And seeing the fruits of years of hard research work to maybe actually make a difference to people is super rewarding.
And I imagine you are seeing that now with the trial patients who actually they have been diagnosed with AF.
Absolutely. That's been a really rewarding thing in that as part of the study, which obviously research, we actually have found AF for some people and made sure they're on the right treatment. And actually, we get really good feedback from patients, one, who've taken part in the study, and two, in terms of the people who've been diagnosed, got on the right treatment and are much happier now that they know this condition exists. They know they're on the right treatment. They know they're being protected.
It's so often, you know, the point that you see your GP is the point where there is something wrong as opposed to future planning. And I suppose this makes a huge difference because it's preventing those hospital stays, the heart attacks, the strokes.
Absolutely. I think we can all see the NHS is under strain from us within who are part of the system, to also for all the patients who come and see us on a daily basis and are constantly telling me how busy things are and how under strain the system is. And so solution to that is try to shift our focus from always treating things right at the end when things are really bad for people to try to get ahead of the curve and try and treat things before they cause problems. Many of us will know somebody who's had a stroke and will know how debilitating that can be for the individual, how much that can affect the family, how it can affect everything, your care responsibilities, financial stuff, etc. It's not just a single thing, this affects your life. So if we can stop that for an individual, that's a hugely rewarding thing for us as clinicians, but also a hugely beneficial thing for the NHS, both in terms of the provision of that care, but also in terms of the cost of that care and for the cost for society as a whole.
And obviously, you're hoping that this will get the rollout. And let's say once this has the rollout, do you have any other projects that you're already thinking about for the future?
So heart disease in general is still, alongside cancer, the number one cause of death in the United Kingdom, including the number one cause of premature death in the United Kingdom, and the cause, of course, of hospitalisation and quality of life being impeded. So one can look at what we've done here for atrial fibrillation and with FIND-AF as effectively the first in a series of a number of these tools and projects that we're running. We're also doing something very similar in heart failure because, for example, in heart failure, that's again super common, more than 1 million people diagnosed in the UK, but you wouldn't believe that 8 in 10 of those people are only diagnosed after they're so sick they have to come to hospital. So that's a clear unmet need that we want to diagnose people earlier before they're so sick they have to come to hospital. So we're doing a very similar thing, what we did with FIND-AF, with heart failure. We've made FIND-HF, where we're, again, using primary care records at scale, identifying at-risk people, and we're shortly, hopefully, going to be starting a study where we're doing a very similar study, but for trying to prevent heart failure. And we're doing it in a number of other areas as well to try and prevent these really important and common diseases which severely affect people's lives. So hopefully in years to come you'll see this as just the starting point of how we then shifted everything and improved early diagnosis in the community to make patients better and live longer.
That's phenomenal. I hadn't even thought about the fact that you could then take the technology and then transpose it for different illnesses.
Absolutely. So the team, in terms of the humans that go into making these technologies, the principles behind how we do it and how we test it and how we make sure it's safe to be used in people, we can replicate in different disease areas. That's what we're currently doing. And we know there are many, many diseases that are diagnosed late in the disease course at the point at which they're really affecting people's lives. And we want to try and get ahead of that. And we want to try and shift everything. We know that's what the government wants as well. They want things in the community. They want digital, not analog. They want prevention, not treatment. And we want to try and address those through a series of these partnerships between clinical work, research work, charities funding us, the National Health Research funding us, and then taking this into the NHS.
And presumably it has the power to go further than the NHS and actually go worldwide.
Yeah, so that's something. So our first goal, I'm an NHS doctor, our first goal was to improve care in the NHS. But We have, over the last 5 years, developed a really strong collaborative network across many countries, actually. And so actually the Find AF algorithm that I spoke about that we developed and checked in 2 million people in the UK, we've now done that in 9 million people in other countries. So this algorithm could go much further internationally, globally, and it could actually be something that we export. This is UK made, NHS, university made. We can export this to improve care worldwide, but also to bring back revenue for the NHS and for the universities.
So a huge impact, almost of unimaginable scale.
So that's what we hope to achieve. We have to get there first, but we aim big, because we aim to try and improve things across the country, the NHS, and then we aim to take that model and apply elsewhere as well, and be able, and you know, I said atrial fibrillation is very common. For example, this one disease area, 1.5 million people in the UK. It's about 63 million people globally. So that's a huge number. We're talking about huge numbers here. And so we really are looking to do things at scale, make big benefits, and potentially make a big difference on a national and international scale. But of course, we need to get there first. It's been 5 years development so far, and we need to keep going.
Coming up on our next episode.
The advance now is that we have personalised cancer vaccines. So people who have been diagnosed with cancer, a sample of their tumour is taken, the genetic material can be extracted, and the particular mutations of that individual's cancer can be identified, and a vaccine developed that is personalised in that it's directed at targeting those antigens that were present in that particular patient.
And you can hear more about the breast cancer vaccine from Professor Chris Twelves on our next episode. Medical Breakthroughs, The Research Journey is an Under the Mast audio production.